Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the eLaborate Topics podcast. I'm your host for today's show, Stephanie Whitehead. For those of you tuning in for the first time, I'm your podcasting laboratory leader and co-host for this show. The eLaborate Topics podcast is a weekly podcast where myself and my co-host will be bringing you topics related to the laboratory and leadership to help you excel inside and outside the laboratory. And today I'm excited because we have a very special guest, Ms. Grace Stankiewicz. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Grace and I will be talking about today exploring career opportunities off the bench. Most commonly, people think of the clinical laboratory professionals in the lab as working either in a hospital or a clinic. However, looking over your personal career journey, we're able to see that you held several positions really outside of the laboratory. Grace started her career as a blood banker, actually, and transitioned into an IT implementation role where she now works for CoreCheck Technologies as an implementation specialist. And she started that really after, you know, happenstance of working on an LIS system in her previous job. She's also held a teaching role as an adjunct instructor, and so I thought she would be the perfect person to talk to our listening audience today about this subject. So, Grace, I want to get right into it. Tell me what led you to transition to a position outside of the clinical laboratory setting.
Yeah, well, thanks again, Stephanie. I should have known that my career path was going to be full of all kinds of twists and turns from the very beginning. I started out as a pre-med major in college, and during my second year, I was introduced or invited to a meeting that about medical technology, and I had no idea what I was getting into, but it resulted in me transferring from that university to a medical technology program for my third and fourth years and getting my bachelor's degree. I worked in various areas of the laboratory to start, but then my focus became the blood bank. I fell in love with that. And after being in different overnight positions, day positions, different technical roles, part-time, full-time, the lead role. I worked for 20 years in the blood bank, and then a local university offered me a part-time position as an adjunct instructor, and, you know, specific for the transfusion medicine laboratory part. And I really embraced that opportunity, and I really love teaching. My role as a lead in the blood bank had basically set me up as the trainer for any new hires, so I felt really comfortable in that teaching role. I loved that opportunity, and I kind of took it to heart that I was educating the next generation of blood bankers. Practically at the same time as that happened, I was offered a position with the healthcare IT company, CoreCheck Technologies. And again, I wasn't sure if I had the proper skills for a role in IT. But I learned very quickly that my ability to understand and get my hands dirty in the back end of our blood bank system and performing build updates made that transition work so well. In my current job, we work closely with healthcare facilities that are frequently understaffed, too short-handed, just don't have the means to complete critical IT projects that have to be done when a vendor says, here's your timeline, we're going live here. Again, due to shortages of med techs, people don't have time to get off the bench to be able to focus on those type of IT projects. So that's where CoreCheck comes in, and we're able to provide that resource and work hand in hand with the facility to be able to get those projects implemented. As you may or may not know, blood bank computer systems are considered a medical device by the FDA, so they fall under very strict regulatory requirements, and it's critical to make sure that all of the safety checks that need to take place in blood banking are validated prior to the facility putting that system into use. You don't want to be able to hand out an APOS unit to an OPOS patient without the computer saying, you know, what are you doing? That's not allowed. So having a really strong clinical background in the blood bank kind of gave me the confidence to be able to validate these systems because I know the workflows. And there's a vast array of blood bank computer system vendors out there, and each has its own nuance, has its own pathway to be able to perform all of the functionality in blood banking, but underlying, it's all the same functionality. So the validation of it is something that, you know, we do system specific, but we also use the site's SOPs to make sure we're validating the system as they intend to use it. So that's kind of in a nutshell where I am right now with my current position.
So you mentioned a lot of great points about how some of the characteristics that you had learned in your career and in, you know, getting your degree as a clinical laboratory scientist helped set you up for the role that you're in now. And as we know, and all of our listeners can look at their own careers and think about this, but laboratory professionals are hugely versatile in the skills that we gain when we're getting our clinical laboratory science degree, and those skills help set a good foundation upon which, you know, we can have what we need to learn new skills and to specialize in different career opportunities if we like to. So in your opinion, what are some of the common personality traits or characteristics that you think a clinical laboratory scientist already possesses that fit well with other careers outside of the bench?
Well, I think the number one thing that all of us clinical scientists have is attention to detail. Our knowledge base is drilled into us. We're always looking for that outlier. We strive to make sure we get it right. As I used to teach my blood bank students, you have to get 100% in blood bank. A 90 isn't going to cut it. And so we have that attention to detail, the complex thinking that we're always thinking as a test result comes out, we're thinking, oh, this isn't good. This patient has this clinical situation going on. This indicates this patient is going to go to the OR very soon. Or we're always thinking about the laboratory test results that we're seeing with the patient behind it, and we have that complex thinking to know and understand the importance of what we're doing. And then, of course, multitasking. In any laboratory situation, you are never just sitting there and continuing the same process over and over. There's phone calls. There's people coming to the door. There's questions from a supervisor or the next shift you're helping to transition in. So we're very well versed at being able to multitask and take on many jobs at the same time.
And so, similarly to that, kind of keeping on with that same thread of thought, what are some of the other positions that a clinical laboratory professional should consider?
I think that there's so many opportunities out there that a lot of people just don't even think about. Again, IT was something that kind of came to me because of my experience being able to go into the system and create changes. I worked closely with the IT department that was at my hospital to help them out, basically, as well. We didn't want to have to wait for them to have time for our project, so I got guidance from them and started doing my, you know, the work that was needed. So the IT side of things is a rapidly growing aspect of the healthcare that I think medical technologists or medical laboratory sciences are very, very well adverse to. And then another area is infection control. Again, most people think of the infection control department as being a staff of nursing personnel because they're at the bedside. But who better than someone who is so familiar with the microbiology and the laboratory side of that to be involved in the patient care side of infection control. Some other opportunities out there would be research. The COVID-19 has brought on a whole new kind of pointed a focus now at the laboratory, whether it's the vaccine development or the testing of COVID that is happening, and it's being very scrutinized. People say, well, I tested positive here and negative there, or I don't understand. And so it kind of put a focus on laboratory testing for COVID, and that hopefully also brought to light the research and all of the testing that goes on behind development of tests, development of vaccines. That's another a great avenue. And then, of course, sales. Every time you're working on the bench, you have a salesperson that's coming in, whether it's an instrument or it's a reagent that you need to use. That you are the person as an end user that knows how these things work better than anyone else. So if sales or something, if you want to travel, that would be a great opportunity as well.
For you know, what value have you seen for your career personally in accepting a role outside of the traditional clinical lab setting and in the IT realm?
Well, the one thing that I really enjoy about my job now is it is ever changing. I am constantly learning new skills, new systems, as blood bank computer systems go through their life cycle, there's always upgrades, there's always fixes that need to occur. So it's not a stagnant computer system. So we're constantly having to learn and upgrade those systems and retest. And then also there's so many other aspects that of my job where I'm working with hospitals all across the country. I'm basically working with a blood bank supervisor that is charged with making sure the project goes smoothly, and that's my job to make her job easy. So I've built professional relationships across the country with these supervisors and leads, and I think it helps because you feel connected to that institution in a big way.
And so for some of our listeners, they may be asking, why are you guys doing a show like this when we do so many shows about how to retain people or how to attract more people into the laboratory profession? However, like I said in the intro, our podcast and our episodes are about helping you individually excel on the things that you want to excel on, whether inside the lab or outside the lab. And for those of you who may have entered the clinical laboratory science profession and say, you know, I love the world of medicine and I love working on the bench, but I do feel like I want to do a little bit more or maybe want to try something different. I feel like working in this realm or in this field, but I want to use my skills in a different way. We want to give you guys, you know, some tips and tools and things to think about to help you guys do that. So, Grace, what advice would you give to our listeners who are looking for perhaps opportunities, still using their background but outside of the clinical laboratory setting?
Well, I think the most important, as you touched on there, is find your passion in the world of lab medicine. What is your favorite part of it? What do you like? What do you like? What do you not like? And again, for me, the opportunity wasn't so much about leaving. I did not want to really leave the clinical setting. As I was leaving that clinical setting, the medical director at my facility was like, Grace, you will be back. You are in the trenches blood banker. You thrive on the chaos of blood bank and the emergencies, and you will be back. But at the same time, taking that step away from the bench kind of opened my eyes to what else was out there. And it also meant, you know, no more overnights, and weekends were mine. So there's some pluses to that. But if you find your passion, as I did with blood banking, one thing you could do is just kind of start as a part-time position. Look for some jobs that may be out there that aren't quite the same as laboratory medicine, but it piques your interest, and kind of start as a part-time or even a contractor, as I started when I first was hired. But it's important to find that resource that might open that door for you. Get as much information as you can. I never wanted to leave the security of the job that I had, and I didn't know what I was getting into. I did stay part-time as a PRN schedule, shall we say, in the very beginning, but I ended up moving out of state, so that made that impossible to continue in that role.
And if there is a listener who's thinking, I think I have a sense of a passion that I have for IT or for research or for teaching, because our CLS programs do need more instructors and more professors, but I'm afraid to step away from my norm and my day-to-day, what advice would you have for them?
Well, again, I think just it's like anything else. If before you take that leap of faith, if the security is something that you need, then find a resource that you can talk with and explore the avenues, and you might be surprised what you find on the other end.
Now, I want to pivot a little bit because you have had such an interesting career and journey through your years with the laboratory medicine field. Sometimes when we often look back on our career or our journey, we think, man, if I had known what I know now, I wish I would have told my younger self this. And so what career advice would you have given to your younger self knowing everything that you know now?
Well, I think I probably, I've always enjoyed every aspect of what I did. I started as a generalist, so I did get that sense of each and every area of the laboratory, and that helped me to find my niche in blood banking. But I think one of the things that the opportunities that didn't really present itself back in that time frame, but is kind of current now, is travel assignments. I love to travel. I love to occasionally with CoreCheck, I need to go on site with a facility and get into their blood bank to help them, whether it's to go live support or do some training. But the travel assignments are something that are fairly, probably within the last 5 to 10 years maybe, are more prevalently available for blood bankers. I think that would be neat to go and travel. You're able to see different sizes of institutions. You're able to see how different parts of the country might handle things differently. I think I probably would have liked to have done that in the beginning.
That's actually a really good answer, because I also have never taken the opportunity to work with an agency on travel assignments, and they're always needed. I think I was always probably not brave enough to walk into a new laboratory and not know anybody and not know the competencies and not know the culture or the organization. And in hindsight, I probably should have stepped out. I probably could have stepped out and just, like you said, been able to see different laboratories and the way different areas of the country and the world operate in this field. Because you're right, as you grow in your career with CAP inspections and going on different conferences, you're able to meet different people. But if you are listening and, you've been thinking about taking travel assignments, I definitely encourage you, if you're life is set up to where you can travel for that amount of time, to do it, because, you don't want to look back on your career with any type of regret.
Exactly.
Do you have a mentor? And if you do, how has your mentor influenced your professional journey?
That's a very interesting question. I think I had multiple mentors as I journeyed through the clinical setting. Most recently, and the most important mentor to me was the project manager, the vice president of operations that hired me at CoreCheck, Lori, who was the major motivator for me to see exactly how qualified I was to be able to step off of the bench, to be able to take that leap, to leave the place where I was comfortable, where I knew exactly what I was doing, and journey into this world of what the unknown, basically. And she herself had been a blood banker, a manager in a hospital setting. She was an SBB. Her skills were, and that's what she kept telling me. I know you know what you're doing. I've been there, and this is something you can handle this. And so I think that having her guidance, and she knew exactly how to motivate me. Each and every project that I did when I first started with the company was different, which kind of brought its own sense of, okay, what am I getting into here? And she provided just enough guidance, but, you know, didn't spoon feed me, but she made me find my way, and was a tremendous, tremendous help to me, and both and professionally and also personally, where we became great friends.
Knowing the value that you got from your own personal mentor, if there are listeners who are exploring opportunities off of the bench, how could a mentor be a valuable resource in helping them navigate their new career path?
I think when you find someone like that, that has an appreciation for where you've been and has gotten a sense of your innate skills and what you're capable of, I think the sky's the limit. I mean, you basically will be able to do whatever you set your mind to be able to do. And I think that finding that mentor in an area outside, again, you never know when that door is going to open. So I guess that would be the first thing is find someone that you think you might want to work with, or that you're interested in their position, and see how they can help you out. You may find that it's not something you want to do. You may find that it's not the right job for you, but having someone that has succeeded and moved along and can explain things to you, I think is very, very important.
Thank you so much, Grace. And as we start to wrap up our conversation, I love to ask the guests that I interview about what advice they would like to leave our listeners with to help them on the topic that we've discussed, because, you know, we want this to be more of an action-oriented podcast where people can listen and feel like they've at the end gained something that they can walk away with and, you know, maybe implement or continue to learn or research in their journey forward. So do you have any advice that you would want to leave our listeners with?
Well, I think that there's so many resources that are out there, and again, some you're going to have to invest in, whether it's a membership in your particular area of the laboratory or ASCP in general. AABB membership was something that I always invested in because I wanted to make sure that I was keeping in with the latest. I would go to AABB conventions when it was possible for me to do so. But there's so many resources, and some are free. I know that AABB, for me personally, again, from the blood bank side of things, I like to keep on point with the latest topics, the latest FDA guidances that are coming out. AABB has a free web information called AABB Weekly or Smart Brief, AABB Smart Brief, that you can access, and it just kind of deposits a daily or weekly AABB report. And you're able to see things that are happening in other parts of the country. Obviously, a lot of the things lately have been focused on COVID across the country. So it keeps you looking outside of just your own world. And for me, in the IT side of things, there is a free, again, resource, Becker's Healthcare, that actually has different areas of information available to you. I follow the Becker's Health IT line of information that comes out. And again, it's sometimes it's daily reports, and just it has stories in there about what's happening in different parts of the country, what tests are being changed, and all those types of information regarding the connection between IT and laboratory science. So again, those are free resources that I think just, you know, you're on your phone anyway, you might as well read an article that is in line with your profession.
That absolutely makes sense. And outside of this podcast, how would listeners be able to connect with you or reach out to you if they have any follow-up questions?
I'm on LinkedIn, but I can also be reached at my email at grace@corecheck.com. That's corecheck.com. And I'd love to be able to answer any questions that people might have about the IT side of things or anything else.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you to our listening audience for tuning in to today's show with our special guest, Grace, sharing with us, you know, something to think about, exploring opportunities outside of the clinical laboratory setting and traditionally off the bench. If you like what you heard today and want to hear our previous shows, please subscribe to our podcast at directimpactbroadcasting.com. Remember to email us at elaboratetopics@directimpactbroadcasting.com to learn about more about this topic or just be a guest on the show or let us know about other topics you'd like us to discuss. Be sure to follow me at Stephanie Y. Whitehead on all of my social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Please tune in next week to another amazing episode of the Elaborate Topics podcast. And until then, have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.